That was WNHHLP 103.5 FM New Haven. My name is Prestige. My partner in crime, Long Island raised, Elm City made, EZ Blues is in the building. And EZ, you're better with introductions more than me. Who do we have with us today on Behind the Brand?
You see, we kind of like go above and beyond to make sure we have very special human beings on the show where we really can highlight how awesome they are. I just want you to really, really think now. You know, it's not necessarily the size of the rock that drops into the pond, but it is the size of the wake that that rock can create when dropped that is the most impactful. And this person, not only have they literally, Prestige and I might not even be here if it wasn't for her laying the foundation of a phenomenal radio show on WNHH and on many other stations. Okay, so let's be real there. So one, I give flowers now, thank you. And two, not only does she do that, not only is she a memoir writer, not only will she do what's necessary to elevate her brand, but she actually goes back and she gives back. Okay, this person works with former incarcerated females to get their lives on track. And for that, chef's kiss of amazingness, I just want to take this time to thank you. So if you are driving, keep your hands at 10 and 2, but mentally put them together for the amazing Babs, Roz, Ivy. It is a blessing. I have ran into you one time at a breakfast spot, but we didn't talk. But this is actually kind of like our first time having a conversation. So it's awesome. Yes.
Well, thank you for that. Listen, you could be my hype man any day of the week. That made me feel good. I was like, I need him walking around with me all day.
I will be your theme music. It's fine.
I love it. I love it. How y'all doing? This is one of my favorite shows. I
catch
you guys on the regular.
Thank you.
I have some really great guests. I was like, oh, that's a good guest.
I mean, you got some good guests too. I mean, Michael Jai White is no sleeper. He's a he's a pretty good guest, especially what he brought his movie studio to Connecticut. I think that was a great show you had there too.
Oh, thank you.
You had some iconic people on your program as well too.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. How long have you been entertaining people, Love Babs?
I mean, aside from doing this show, my show actually was a internet radio show before it got housed at WNHH. So I was already doing this on Blog Talk Radio for a few years. So I was already doing this.
Oh, talking to people.
Mostly a lot of talking to authors and life coaches, that kind of thing. Doing a lot of that kind of stuff. Musicians. Pretty much what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
Well, no, first of all, thank you for surviving through Blog Talk. I actually did some things on Blog Talk. Very, very interesting platform. They really like to kick people off a lot mid-show. And more power.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, no, it was fun. That's one of the things I did with Nikki that we don't talk about anymore.
Okay, we won't talk.
But really, like, when you transition kind of from, you know, doing internet primarily to now doing terrestrial radio, obviously, there are certain things you can and cannot say. Now, for us, because we're two knuckleheads, that becomes a little tougher to navigate through. But a lot of your guests are a little more highbrow than what we have, if we're being honest. Have you found it a tough transition to go away to a more censored, structured format?
No, not at all. Because, I would say, if you know me, you know I talk pretty loose and sailorish in my real life, right? But I also know time and place. Mm-hmm. So it's all right. I mean, I actually like the structure a little bit more because then other people can't come out their bag. You know what I mean? Like,
it's true.
It's hard to shut down people when they get into their mode, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough one. There's been a couple of times where we're like, well, show's over. Thank goodness you get, we started to do pre-records.
When you get those artists that are accustomed to, you know,
their lifestyle,
doing their thing, you got to like rein them in a little bit. So this is an easier thing because everybody understands the difference between this kind of format and the internet format. Like people, I never met anybody who didn't understand that.
Right.
Mm, this is true. One of the best things you told me, the reason I name myself Love Babs, because even my haters can call myself Love Babs. And, you know, I think from that moment on, I was like, all right, we're going to get along. We definitely are. Tell me about the inner city news. You've been doing great stuff with them for this long amount of time.
Well, you know, that's my, you know, it's our black paper.
Yeah.
It's ours. It's over 30 years old. I started working for them their second year when they started. So that's how long I've been in and out the door. I've been with them this go round. I don't know, like 5 or 6 years, maybe probably 7 years.
Wow.
But I mean, I curate content, you know, I got a good relationship with the New Haven Independent.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a good relationship with the Arts Council and the Arts Paper. I've got a good relationship with the Connecticut News Junkie. And we belong to a couple of black wires that we pull from. So if you pick up the paper, the first half of the paper is New Haven Independent kinds of things. Because they have the staff and a talented team of writers who get the story of the day, you know, the moments. So we are not able to do that. So that allows us to put current news that's happening in New Haven in the front of the paper, in the front pages.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the middle section and the end of the pages, it's reserved for national stuff and international stuff, that kind of thing. And that's how we do it.
I like the brief description. It was really professional.
Well, also, like, really, if you know, I grew up on Long Island. And you had Newsday, but you always found the front part of Newsday was always more the national stuff. You're always finding out the national stuff. But then if you wanted to know what was going on in your own neighborhood, it's really published kind of this small on page like 19 on the top left corner underneath the ad for Tutley. You know, so the fact that you're able to do the New Haven stuff up front and right from, you know, right from jump is a really refreshing aspect. And I love that about that paper. So thank you.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad that people still enjoy it. I mean, people really do still enjoy it. I mean, if we had to start a paper now, it would fail because we couldn't afford it and it would just be too cost prohibitive. Right. But, you know, we've been at this 30 years now, so we got a rhythm.
You've been connecting with so many personalities, been networking for so long. Do you feel like you're actually working or you're just living your best life?
Oh, Preston, you're giving me some questions to think about. I would say I am trying to create better boundaries about work and play.
Mm-hmm.
But so much of what I play at, I get to work at. So I don't know if I could divorce the two.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. You've been involved with so much just throughout this tenure of your career. You really don't know really how to let go.
Preston. What are you trying to push me?
I'm not trying to push you.
Retirement, Preston.
Wow. Don't push me in that corner. Please do not. I ain't trying to go. No, I'm not trying at all. I'm staying in my lane. I love the lane I'm in. 12-1.
Preston, what am I doing?
No, you're not. No, you're not. I don't want to see you go anywhere. And I think the best part, just like about you, Love Babs, I love word from the street. Who came up with that idea?
Oh, that's a Paul Bass baby. Like he wanted to do something like that before, and we just couldn't figure out how to make it work.
Okay.
But now that my format is 2 hours a day, it fits in nice, and people really look forward to it. I look forward to it. I have no idea who they're going to talk to before they do it.
Really?
They don't give me a heads up. I don't want a heads up. I like the element of surprise of whoever they run up on, right? I just love it. So it's all about them. They just decide where they're going to go and what they're going to do. And, you know, that's what it is.
But that makes great radio.
It does.
It really does make great radio. It makes a great show.
There's also the fact that I love the fact that you're still entertained by what you do. You know, you don't want to know what that segment is because you want to be just as entertained as the audience dealing with it at the first time. As performers, as entertainers, as journalists, we can start to lose that fire, and we can lose that Peter Pan-ness. You know, because especially, look, a lot of crazy things go on in the world, and it can make a lot of people really jaded. And I love the fact that you're able to hold on to just that little bit of childlike joy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a beautiful thing.
Oh, thank you. It's a nice segment. I learned so much about people in this city just from the short time that we've been doing this. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many people doing amazing things or struggling with some serious things that we don't often get an intimate look at. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't know any drug addicts.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like in my everyday practical life, I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Nobody in my family is struggling with drugs or anything. So to check in with somebody in the morning on the street when they're on their way to the methadone clinic and they're telling you what this experience is like, I think that's quite illuminating for a lot of people who would not know this information, who would not know this person's story, you know?
Yeah.
Plus, it's able to paint a human face on a very big problem that for a lot of people who are not exposed to it on an everyday basis is just really a statistic. And the fact that you guys can paint, you know, that human face on a statistic is a beautiful thing. And that means healing can be, you know, can happen. We say on the show all the time, we encourage uncomfortable conversations. And we feel that they are necessary as much as possible, you know, for that healing aspect, not necessarily for us, because at least for me, the damage is done. But, you know, for that generation coming up next, if we can make these conversations just part of the regular life, it'll actually make their evolution that much cooler.
Yeah. I mean, it's some good stuff. I mean, and not just, you know, the downtrodden stories, but, you know, we ran into two women who were good friends in the East Rock neighborhood who walked the track and been friends through each other's death of a spouse and children growing up. And out. I mean, they've just been friends for that long. And they still find time to connect and walk. And I mean, it's a little bit of slice of New Haven life that nobody would know if they didn't tune into Word on the Street.
On WNHHLP 103.5 FM New Haven, myself, Prestige, and my partner in crime, Long Island Rays, Elm City Made, EZ Blues is in the building. We got the face of New Haven Independent Radio. We got Love Babs Ivy in the building right now and behind the brand. Go ahead, EZ.
Well, that's kind of, you know, the format for this show as well is we wanted to take, you know, what, you know, these type of interviews and stuff happen more on a major scale. And we, you know, especially when with the small businesses, you know, like we've had the Black Corner on and being able to highlight them.
Oh, yeah.
Such an incredible story, such great human beings, and a story that needs to be told. You know, more people need to know how incredible this family is. So I really, really do appreciate that. And it is, you know, like I said in the intro, you know, if it wasn't for shows like yours, a show like ours might not exist. So, thank you.
That's kind of you to say, but you guys do a great job. I know, and you have some great people on. And you do, I mean, you really do a great job. I mean, I'm really impressed. I always tell Harry, I was like, okay, I want to do what they do. I want to do a little bit, I want the look and feel of what they do.
That's the first time someone said that about me. But no, since we're talking about amazing stories and
usually
amazing conversations,
me, it's like I see everything he's doing. I want to do opposite.
All right.
Throughout your whole morning show here on the station, Babs, what have been some of your favorite just guests or favorite moments that you have here on the program?
You know what? I love talking to artists. Mm. New Haven is such an arts-rich city.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I mean, I know Lucy Gelman talks to artists all the time. Mm-hmm. I love talking to artists. I love talking to educators. I love talking to folks who are just doing really cool, interesting things that they don't always, you know, get opportunity to sort of shine a light on what they're doing. So I try to mix it up as best I can. You know, I like the academics. I love the rough and tumble. I love a lot of the health things. Mm-hmm. I love talking to people about. I love having doctors on and folks like that who deal with health. You know, educate us about or raise awareness about issues that, you know, primarily plague Black and Brown communities.
Yeah,
I enjoy that kind of stuff.
Mm. Definitely. And you definitely had a lot of great people on, too. And what one things I love about it is just your connections with them, too, that you bring on the broadcast. And one thing I really like what you do on Instagram. Oh, you have this thing that's called the porch. And you get everybody that you know on the porch and you just like bring them on. It feels like I'm watching another program of you that you have right there. It's called a porch, but it's pretty dealt with just pictures, just your everyday life. You bring everybody on the porch, you have like little parties on there, get togethers. I mean, I think one time it was during the pandemic, there was like people played like, what was it, like Brian Slattery was playing the guitar outside of her house.
That was
your birthday, right? It was a pandemic
so I had
birthday.
All these people. Yeah. Yeah, it's my pandemic birthday. I didn't have a plan. I just said, I'll be on the porch. If people want to come through, come through.
And they came.
I knew it was a pandemic. So people came and performed. Like Rafael Ramos came with the drums and
yeah.
Phil Brown came with his drums. Alexis Robbins and Victoria tap danced. People sang. People came with their violin. I mean, it was a parade. So yeah, the porch is its own cultural hub now, right?
Yeah, I've seen. it's really great to see, and I think it is.
It is. I think people crave connection.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Old fashioned. We're not sitting in a bar. We're not sitting in somebody's club. We're just sitting on a porch on a good night, drinking some good stuff, eating some good food, having good conversation. That's it. You know, no magic, but that's the magic.
And the best part just about that is anybody can do it.
Anybody can do it.
Everybody has a story like that.
And I tell people, I don't got to come to your porch for you to have a porch experience. If you got a porch, you don't need me. Invite your friends. Pour some liquor. And serve and watch what happens. Good times.
All right. Now, when I was doing my research on you, Babs, a lot of great stuff that I saw. But please tell me, it's a support group that's called Eat, Drink, Divorce.
You know what? I had a support group for 10 years. It's no longer, I shut it down a few years ago.
Yeah.
But I ran a support group out of my church for people who were going through various stages of divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a table fellowship, meaning when people are going through divorce or tough times, they don't want to be in nobody's club. And they don't want to meet at a bar. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to meet at a restaurant because sometimes going through a divorce is cost you, and you might not have the funds to eat out somewhere.
Yeah.
So I would set a table, and I would bring all the food myself. You know, just, you know, not elaborate meals, but I'd bring all the drink. I'd bring wine. I'd set a beautiful table. And that's what I would do. And I would sit around the table with people and just hear their divorce stories and try to be good counsel to them about where they are and how to move forward. That's really what it was. So I did it for 10 years, and it was an amazing commitment of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope I helped some people along the way.
Oh, definitely. It can affect you. It can definitely affect you. Like, I haven't been married, but I know numerous people that I know that did experience divorce, and it's very hard. It can still be hard on them because you commit so much of your time to that person, and it can be even decades and just so long that you're with that somebody and you think you know them, but at the end of the day, you really don't. And some people really think it's their fault when it's really not. So, like, it can be a seesaw, just emotions and feelings. And my God, just probably those one to two people, or maybe even more, because you're a really great personality and you really help a lot of people that you got out there and that you brought out there, that you saw a new light for them, that made them realize they have so much more in life than that. They can overcome their stress and their mental health, you know.
Well, that was I just wanted to give people opportunity to just be in community, not by themselves, because when you get divorced, people choose sides, and sometimes you lose friendships and you lose connection because divorce is like that. And if you don't have anybody to talk to about your divorce or what you're going through, you're pretty much isolated, and it's, you know, heartbreaking. So I just wanted to create space for people, whoever wanted to come and be in the company of other people, share, talk, whatever it was.
Definitely. That's awesome. Easy. I see the light bulb above your head. Go right ahead, buddy.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing is when you break down the actual, like, divorce proceedings aspect, you know, and you do it through, like, case law and all that, all these different years and memories are broken down to dollars and cents. And it can become very dehumanizing. So the fact that for those 10 years, and I'm sure that has also blossomed into other people reaching out to other people. So it's going to last much longer than the 10 years in which you put in. And that's again, amazing. You know, drop the stone and the wake will continue to grow. You know, so the fact that you can repaint that human picture is, again, amazing. I think that's, you are an artist in that form. Because you do it on your show, you do it in your actual life, sans what we do in front of the camera. And that is an amazing thing. And I hope that you give yourself some credit for being that type of artist. Because when you can paint with other people's souls, that's a beautiful thing. And that's a gift.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. It was really self-serving. I was going through a divorce and I felt so isolated. And I was like, I know there's got to be other people out here. Mm-hmm. You know, trying to survive like I am. Let me create a meetup and then see who shows up. And it just worked out.
Mm-hmm. Don Kennedy called you the radio voice of New Haven.
Yes. He is so kind to say that.
Just your words, just being on his podcast, because you guys, it was a great chemistry you guys had back and forth.
Thank you. He's easy to, well, I mean, he's a, you know, he's a bona fide reporter, old school news guy. So, you know, he knows how to get to the heart of things quickly.
This is definitely true. This is definitely true. But with iconic names like Don Kennedy, any other, what were some of your mentors? Just back in the day, that just, like, help you shape the person you are.
Oh my gosh! I mean, you know, I'm 59 years old, so I've had a lot of people along the way, like lots and lots and lots and lots of people. I mean, I would say Paul Bass, absolutely. I would say Karen Walton, who was a dear friend. I mean, there's so many good people out there. B. Dozier Taylor, who used to own Black Print Heritage Gallery, a walking through Christian bookstore on the corner of Edgewood and Day, a whole bookstore in that neighborhood for, I don't know, 30 years, I guess, until she sold the building. It was people like that who just sort of, you know, hey, you want to go do this thing? You want to come do this thing? Come and do this thing, you know. I mean, that's how you learn in community, right? People invite you to be at the table. And then if you don't know, they don't, like, demean you because you don't know. They just, this is what this is. This is what this is. This is how you do this. This is what this is. And so they train you up. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, how will you know? You know.
Sure.
So they just give you they help you with a roadmap, and start getting you to think about what is it that I like to do, or where can I make a difference? And so they put you on that path, right? So yeah, I'm grateful for all the people who, you know, helped. Like me, John Thomas, who owns the Inner City newspaper, gave me a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Still giving me a chance. until he says it's over, I'm still there. You know what I mean?
Like... Yeah.
You were appointed by former Mayor Tony Harp for the Citizens Television Board of Directors. How'd you feel about that position?
Jesus Christ! What are you? You just did some real work.
I try. We try.
I'm here for the jokes. I just tell jokes. He's so professional.
Oh my God. I was on that board. I used to work for them many years ago when they were on the other part of State Street, down mm-hmm. the street from where they are now. So when she asked me to be on that board, I thought, okay. I will say this, it wasn't one of my favorite boards to serve on.
Okay. No, I like the honesty. I'm with that.
Lovely people. Just but I had a right different fit. Vision, and they had a different vision. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm not into culture changing business like that. So mm-hmm. I was like, ooh, yeah. I'm gonna serve, and then I'm gonna be out. Like, don't renew.
Not renewing my subscription.
Yeah, no.
I think just us as broadcasters, I think one of the best things you really can say is no.
Okay. Yeah.
Honestly. I mean, like, it really, because like I understand just by just the conversation we're having on the program, Babs, of just like all the stuff like you're doing right now, but like a lot of the stuff, it really comes organic when it just comes to the world of radio, you know, like it can be that one project you do for 5 minutes. It can last a long amount of time. It's just longevity that you put in, but it really doesn't really feel like it. Am I making sense?
Yeah, no, you are.
In some way, because you can be just involved with just so many projects, but you don't know at the time because it doesn't really feel like work. Like right. This right now doesn't really feel like work. Like Dustin and I are doing like a couple other projects and a couple other shows with some people, and it doesn't really feel like work at all. So it, like, all the stuff that we enjoy can be like 7, 8, 9, 10 things all at one time, but we feel like it's just everyday life. So it's just amazing. So I'm really seeing just the point of view and just the similarities just between us and a little bit just as broadcasters. And when you talk about the television, board of directors with, you know, former Mayor Tony Harp, I kind of get what creative difference when it says no, because one, you know, you're dealing with a different group of people, and they see different amounts of stuff, you know, separate, yeah. You know,
yes.
And it's just not going to work out. It's just not going to work out one bit, you know, because I think one of the healthiest things about being a broadcaster is just like you being okay up here. Just mm-hmm. mentally. Yeah. You're good up here. You're fine. You're good. You can go for a good 2, 3, 4 hours and just talk. Just like the times you're doing that whole late that night. It was like that telethon you were doing. I keep on forgetting the name of that New Haven Independent.
Oh, the telethon you were doing the great
all
gift.
Night. I think what you slept all night at the station. Am I correct?
That was the first year.
That was the first year. I remember that. I do remember that.
WNH became... the partnership with them to do it. I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
They said, and Paul said, we didn't get a lot of donations during that time. Like mm-hmm. people weren't, but I loved it. I just loved it.
Like I heard just some other stuff that you were doing. I think it was you, Brian was on there. I forgot a couple other people. It was like numerous people were at that at the time. Yeah. Yeah, literally, it was. Literally, it definitely was. And like,
party.
You like we were just on lightning. You can do the pajama party.
I'm in.
Like, that's
during this pandemic, I've been in my pajamas the majority of the time I've been on air. It makes no difference.
But just seeing you just go and on it like you didn't even need sleep was just incredible.
Oh, we had such a good time.
Yeah.
I thought that was fun. So we did it. I think we did it twice. I think we did it for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then we didn't do it again. So, you know. So, and we don't even do late night anymore. We just kind of cut it off in the evening, in the afternoon, and that's it. But those early days were a lot of fun to me.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think you were only just a couple days a week just when you first started at the station, right? And then it just grew into
five days. When I first came on, I was on like 1 day a week.
Yeah.
For like an hour, you know, mm-hmm. like 50 minutes or something.
Yeah, I remember that. And then I think out of announcement, I think Joe tells me like, yo, she got 5 days. Like just right out the bat. Right out the bat. Like, all right, there's two shows on 5 days now. And we're like, let's go. It was like a little healthy competition in there back and forth.
Yeah, because I would follow you guys, right?
Yeah.
Like I would follow Ugly Radio.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a cool setup too. I enjoyed that setup a lot, you know. I mean I actually was hanging out with y'all first before I went over to WNHH, so
it was Love Babs Friday.
Yeah, it was
Love Babs every Friday. You came and we talked politics, just different stuff with the city. I remember you going around. I remember Rob Nice is on the little DJ tab, and you're just dancing to the music. You had your coffee, came in, and that hour felt like 5 minutes.
Oh, it was great.
It breezed by. It just so breezed by. It was just so good, and it was just a nice feeling every time you came in. It was a nice feeling every time he came in. It was just a great conversation. It was never a dull moment either. So I kind of see why they snatched it from us. So it's okay.
I had a good time.
Yeah.
So I would leave y'all and then run over there. Mm-hmm. And then finally it was, all right, I'm going to do this over here every day. And it worked out.
So. Yeah. I see you just going to so many different stuff on, as I talk, let me get the tag out the way, WNHH LP 103.5 FM New Haven, myself, Prestige, and my partner in crime, Long Island Rays, Elm City Made EZ Blues is in the building. One of my favorite interviews that you had, I forgot his name because so much is going through my mind and I'm trying to slow my words, but he was the director of the Schubert Theater. It was a great interview.
Anthony McDonald.
Yes. Yes. That was one of my favorite interviews you had with him. And he was really about change. He definitely was. He definitely was. He wanted to bring a lot, I think, culture when it came into the Schubert Theater, because you only had that only just a few target audiences that they were directing in downtown New Haven, where it's just so much diversity and just so much stuff just to bring there. And do you feel he's fulfilling his duties?
Oh, I think he has really made a strong impression on the city just by the things that have already shown up. I mean, the Alvin Ailey was amazing. I mean, not Alvin Ailey. The Dance Theater of Harlem was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Anastasia, which wasn't his programming. Next year is his whole full programming year.
Mm-hmm.
But he got me back into the Schubert in a way that I hadn't felt excited about in a long time. I mean, he really is energetic and sincere and about raising the bar around equity and inclusion. You know, he really wants to see that theater reflect the communities in which make up New Haven. So I'm with that. I'm with that too.
So. Of course, there's so many stories to tell. There's endless stories to tell, especially when it comes to plays and just bringing right there, just the full life of just when it comes to the community there. So, you know, kudos to him. Definitely kudos to him.
He's a great guy. And he does a great Obama impression. He does.
This is true. Yeah, this is true. This is definitely true. This is definitely true. I did forget about that. That is so true. One thing that I do love about you, you are a great mother to your kids. Well, and you are hard.
Today they wouldn't say that, but
they wouldn't say that.
That means you're doing it right.
That means you're doing it right. Period. You're doing it right. You're doing it right, period. Yes. I can't really say these posts on air, but you definitely do feel, I'm trying to find the best way to say this, in a respectful way to say this, because it just made me laugh about some of these posts that, you know, because you're a hard mother. Like, you really want the best out your kids. You don't want anything to happen and that what happened to you. You really want the best out of them. And just working with your daughter, just when I was working with her downtown New Haven at the restaurant I'm not going to talk about. just seeing how hard.
Are you still there? Have you left then? Are you still there?
I'm still with those guys. I'm still with those guys. Right. Pandemic.
Well, I thank you for the shot you're giving her. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But she definitely worked hard. She definitely worked hard. She had a chance to be a leader there. She turned it down, which I understand. But
yeah, because, you know, she was only 17.
She was only 17 at the time.
Yeah.
Yes, she was. So hopefully she's off to great things as she is. Yeah. But just your other three kids too, man. You're definitely always highlighting their success and their accomplishments, and you're giving them a lot of opportunities. I feel like you didn't have, as you should as a parent, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, parenting, you ask any parent, it is not easy work.
No.
And I don't know if it should be easy work. You know, you're training up and raising a whole human being, you know, to go out into the world and be decent. And at least, I don't know what these other people are doing, but I want them to be respectful, decent, kind, caring people. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want them picking up guns and killing people. Like, I don't want to see that. So, you know, you do the best you can. You don't know what you'll get. You don't know if any of it will stick, but, you know, you make the effort as best you can. You let them know that you love them. And you just make yourself available to them as they move through life. You know, mm-hmm. That's it.
Easy has his joke because he's so hard on his boys. He wants the best out of them. how much money are they supposed to give you? There's like a certain bill of money that they're supposed to give you. I think it's like at a certain age they you know have their own income.
25.
25.
By 25, they all owe me $250,000. And if they mess up in college, like they drink themselves out of their freshman year, there's the butthead tax, as we'll call it on air. There'll be like an extra $30,000 that'll be added on and different things like that. And I expect collection. You know, they've been made fully aware of it. We talk about it all the time. One of my kids is getting so good with it, he's trying to negotiate. He's like, well, you know, what's the big if I don't pay when I'm 25, you know? So we're working it out. We're making it a math thing.
I love that. I wish I would have thought of that, because I damn sure would have put that in their head.
Well, look, I have a 15-year-old and I have twin 12-year-olds. And we say it all the time. Within the next 6 years, it's 100% like our jobs here to make sure that these guys are trained up and ready to, you know, be human beings in life. I don't want them to be the horrible roommate in college. You know, you need to put your laundry away. You need to make sure your socks don't smell. Like, you know, you need to make sure you're using deodorant. For the love of God, please use deodorant. You know, the house doesn't need to smell like onions if I'm not making sauce. That's all I'm saying.
That's right. That's right. I mean, I taught them how to do all the basic things.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to cook. They know how to clean. They know how to grocery shop. They know how to do their own laundry. I taught them this very young,
mm-hmm.
You know, because I didn't want them to grow up not knowing how to do these things.
Yeah.
You know, and now they do them, so.
Well, I have to say, especially with the two younger ones, I'm so glad they do their own laundry, because they have, like, 5 to 10 costume changes a day. You know, they were playing 2K, NBA 2K the other day, and they had to make sure they changed into the right jerseys to play to support the teams that they were playing on a video game. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm so glad they do their own laundry, because I would spend my entire life doing laundry.
Yeah,
and I don't like that.
No, we're not doing that.
No.
We want to raise self-sufficient kids so that they can be in the world and
exactly.
You know, and not get some woman to do it or whatever the significant other is. Yeah. You know, I would be embarrassed if my kids went out there had somebody doing their laundry for them because they don't know how to do it. Now, if they have somebody to do it who loves them and wants to do it because they that's part of their love language, but for them to be out in the world and not know how to do stuff, no.
Not at all. And I have no pride. I tell them all the time, when you bring that significant other back and they're like, how come they don't do this? I'm like, oh, they know how to do it. You just don't know how to make them do it. It's a completely different way to go about things. You know? And if they don't believe me, they can go through all of these that are going to be archived on New Haven Independent. And they can hear that I've actually explained to them that they know how to do their laundry. You know, gotcha.
Exactly.
What's good to teach them about the laundry? But as we go on, Delta Sigma Theta Sorority. You are the largest Black Greek woman organization in the world. This is like a two-part question because I only got so much time in this broadcast. One, how does it feel? And two, are you still involved with them somehow?
Yes. I mean, first of all, I became a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated in fall 1982.
Wow.
So it is a lifetime commitment. And then so when I came back to Connecticut, I joined the New Haven alumni chapter. And that's where I've been. It's been my sorority home ever since. Listen, anytime that you get opportunity to work and be in fellowship with powerful Black women, I don't know who would not do that. I love my sorority. I love my sorority sisters. We have done some amazing things. Former Mayor Tony Harp is my sorority sister. Mm. There's a bunch of us around town, you know. Dr. Tamiko Jackson is my sorority sister.
Wow.
So, I mean, so there's quite a few of us in positions of power throughout the city. So it is an opportunity for women to learn leadership, to make change in community, and to be connected to strong, powerful women, Black women, women of color.
I'm not gonna, Harry. Oh my goodness, Harry.
I think Harry's pretty damn close to an honorary soul. Because he knows a lot of us. and they all like him. So you know, they all like Harry.
I love you, Harry. Sadly, we're coming to an end soon. But just a little bit more left in the interview. What future stuff that you have planned for the rest of 2022?
Oh, well, we're gonna curate some more stuff for the porch. So I hope you guys come hang out on the porch. So we're gonna actually do some more curated stuff.
Nice.
Do a little bit more of what we did last year. You know, except a little bigger, like cigars on the porch, more music on the, you know, more live music on the porch.
There we go.
You know, maybe some poetry on the porch, definitely that kind of stuff. I just want to just be more in my artistic self. I want to spend more time being an artist. And however way that plays out, that's what I want to do.
This is the time for anyone who wants to reach out to you. Please remind everybody what time slot you are on WNHHLP 103.5 FM New Haven and just any more upcoming products you got right now. Love Babs, this time is yours.
Love Babs, Love Talk, Monday through Friday, 9 to 11. I tend to have guests at the 10:15 hour. Word on the street is usually at the 9:30 hour. And it's usually about a 20-30 minute conversation. That's what we're doing. That's what I'm doing. Let's see, what else? I think that's enough.
Okay.
I mean, I serve on a bunch of boards. So pay attention to what's going on at Long Wharf Theater. We've got our big block party coming up in June.
All right.
Planned Parenthood, I'm on that board. Pay attention to the efforts of what we're trying to do in case this Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade. So pay attention to that. I chair the Arts Council, so I am proud of the work that we've done over the year, particularly during the pandemic, making sure that the BIPOC community had access to money and resources to sustain themselves while we were going through the very beginnings of this pandemic. So, and I'm on the board of Common Ground, which I stepped down from in June, the school in that sits at the base of West Rock. That's a farm. So pay attention to what they're doing and support our young people.
That's definitely. Well, Babs, thank you for being a part of the program. I really do appreciate you here on Behind the Brand. It's great thank to have you. Great to see your face again. Great to see your energy. Feel your energy, if I can barely speak.
Well, thank you for having me back on. I really do enjoy you all, and I really do listen to your show. I really do because I enjoy it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So thank
Easy
you.
Blues. You got yes. anything to say?
Well, I'm just gonna throw it out there. Penguins on the porch. I'm just gonna put that out there. You know, we can make some things happen. That's all I'm saying. It's a party. It's a penguin party on the porch. That's all. It'll be a good time. No, but honestly, thank you so much for everything you do. Not just, you know, in the arts aspect, not with just the boards that you, but just, you know, you as a human being. You know, we have a tendency to get very jaded and to get very beaten down by life and society. And it's great to see somebody who is as young as you are, because, you know, you said you're 59, but 59 years young, as young as you are, really continue to push and keep that spark. You know, it gives a bitter soul like myself a little bit of hope later on. So thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys. Keep up the good work.
On WNHHLP 103.5 FM New Haven, Prestige, Long Island Rays, Elm City Made, EZ Blues is in the building with the lovely Love Babs Behind the Brand. Thank you.
So good to see you, Preston.
So good to see you, too.
Oh, Prestige. Bye, Harry. I'll see you in the morning.
Trying to figure out what it's all about. Existentialist. Am I worth anything or just a scout? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know.
Spending time all alone. Sending my songs through the phone. Dreaming of a better home. Meanwhile, focused on trying to hone this craft. Witchcraft. I hope the brujas let this last.
I don't know. This pain
once the most, the seconds, the seconds, the seconds, the seconds, the seconds, the seconds, the seconds wasted, never returned. I'm spaceship dreaming of landing home. I'm not alone.
Even though we all die, one thing I